Mini episode 190 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, folks, welcome to mini episode number 190 of the FDH Lounge, talking NFL Week 3, Rick Boris and Kyle Ross, a little bit of off-air buffoonery about ESPN here, as we are wont to do sometimes.
I think you screwed me up, but I can't remember. I had like a lot of good jokes planned for the outset of this program. They're all gone right now because I'm laughing.
Are they? Okay.
Yes, they'll come back to me. I've got about 45 minutes, I think, to recount them all, so I think we'll be okay. But
all right. You've
totally thrown me off my game early, and it doesn't help that I hate this Week 3 card to begin with. Okay?
Well,
I'm in a real ornery mood here.
Well, we'll start on that note. That should be an encouraging note because for people who listened last week, and by the way, for anybody that listened, and I never advocate betting on all of my plays, but if you did last week and you bet heavily, you're retired early. Thank you very much. 12-2-2 for me last week, which is mind-boggling. I mean, I never have
that's,
a week
that's kind
like
of a
that.
Once in a life. That's a
I'll
once
never.
In a couple season type. I mean, I went 9-5-2 and felt like I didn't know anything.
Well, you know, Nate Noy, you know, one of our associates here with the lounge, brought me back down to earth when he pointed out, of course, I wasn't in Vegas, didn't have anything down on this. So what did it get me?
Yeah, but it was interesting that you said Nate was the one who was primarily responsible for talking you into taking St. Louis over Washington, which
yes.
is one of the ones we differed last week.
Yes.
And it was funny, I was telling you off air that the few that I did get wrong were all games where I made the mistake of paying too much attention to what happened in week one, which
mm-hmm.
is precisely what I told the listeners not to do
sure.
in the podcast. And St. Louis here, watch this transition here. Work with me, Ricky. Watch
okay.
this. This is going to be radio magic here.
All right.
Okay. St. Louis was part of a huge trend in week two that we saw mm-hmm. with the home dogs.
Yes.
I've talked about that's one of the as we started to do these things here, it's only 2 weeks in, obviously, I've made it clear that I like home dogs.
Okay.
And home dogs cleaned up last week, going 5-1 against the number.
Mm-hmm.
The only non-cover was Jacksonville, who put up a just pitiful performance against Houston.
As they are wont to do.
Yeah, exactly. That was one where you were smart. You went with
okay.
Houston. Again, a different. I went with Jacksonville on sheer principle. I told you it was kind of a hold-your-nose situation. And when I look at this Week 3 card, I told you that what I do every Sunday night before the lines come out, about
mm-hmm.
an hour, they usually come out as the Sunday night game is starting,
mm-hmm.
is it if people are really into doing this like I am. And so about an hour before, I kind of try to guess what the line is. And as I was looking at these games this week, I was like, oh, my God, there's going to be so many home dogs, and they all stink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're the teams that, you know, going back to when we did our preview
mm-hmm.
mini episodes, there are a lot of teams that we've pegged for last place finishes.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, where there was value, I thought, this week, I think the lines are pretty solid, and it kind of leaves me scratching my head.
Well, everything with you last week, as we knew would be the case, much like the Kyle Ross that the folks had been getting over the years here when they were getting the picks via the 900 line or website or what have you. A strong week for you, 4-1-1 verified
yeah.
against the number.
Documented.
Thank you very much.
So
combined with the 2-2 before, a very strong 6-3-1 on the season
yeah,
for you. Congratulations.
And you know, 9-5-2 overall,
yes.
just to be fair.
I'll
say what I did
thing.
Everything. And
yeah.
that we are including the Thursday game, which you and I just always kind of talk about off air.
Yeah,
because
I always
yeah.
tweet those. Yeah, you can go to Twitter and find how my pick of the Giants plus the 3 worked out for this week.
A lot of value, I think, going against the public today. Big line move today.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. I have actually noticed that since
mm-hmm.
I last looked at the lines,
mm-hmm.
and I hadn't looked at them today in
mm-hmm.
full candor until about a half hour before showtime, I like some of the line moves this week a lot. And I'll be playing against
them. Isn't that dangerous?
I like the way the line's moving.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'll say I don't necessarily agree with the line moves. I, for my perspective, I like them.
Okay, but if the mouth breathers are moving in your direction, isn't that a dangerous?
No, but that's what they're not. Is what I'm saying.
They've driven away from you.
Yeah, they've driven the line in a way that I like.
Interesting.
They've driven the way, and that's what I'm saying. I like that.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I like to be against the line moves, and the line moves are and the lines are moving the way I like for them to move.
Very nice. Well,
you say that three times fast.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Get the toilet paper out of your mouth, Kyle. Okay.
Yes. Well, again, while you're joining me in giving an opinion on all of the games, ultimately, you know, for those expecting the Kyle Ross premium, what you're looking at are the ones that he says, these are my plays for the week. 6-3-1 on the season. Very, very strong on those. I'm picking all of these because I'm a masochist. It worked out last week, the 12-2-2, 20-10-2 on the season for me on my big three. Last week's 3-0 brings me to 4-2 for the season, 2-0 on my lock picks for the year. Both times on Atlanta. Spoiler alert, Atlanta is not a part of my lock for week three.
Okay, that's great. And they've looked, by the way, I've got a great comparison for Atlanta. I'm going to call them the pavement of the NFL. Remind me to bring that up when we talk about the Falcons today.
Right.
And I'll say this, I am following your lead. I only have three. It was tough in this card, like I said at the outset. I've only got three games singled out myself.
I hate this card also. It's a thing. You always look at these before I
told
do.
You, you. I told you, you on what was
yeah,
it about noon
me.
On Monday? I was
yeah.
like, Ricky, I hate this card. Can we not do the show?
Yeah, you look at these before me, and I don't know. I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for it. And then I looked like, oh my God, I see what he meant. Oh, this is horrible. Oh.
And here's the thing.
Uh huh.
I will do something multiple times during this broadcast that will leave you wondering. Why exactly am I bringing this guy on board to do this?
Okay.
Well. And no, that will not be reciting Bill Clinton's phenomenal speech of 2 weeks ago, word for word. Okay.
Well,
it won't be that. It won't be that. We don't have time. Okay. I know we usually go long, but come on now. We have our limits, Ricky.
Well, you are the proven Vegas professional out of the bunch here.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll you know we'll,
always
we'll
bet
trust.
On Slick Willie, baby. Yeah. Always bet on Slick Willie.
It was effective. He conned the media into giving him some good headlines for that. So, what have you? He was successful in that regard. First game we're going to look at week one here.
That's a very solid transition there.
Thank you.
Seemed like you were running away from the subject.
I kind of am. This is not a political season where Mitt Romney is the nominee of quote unquote your party is not an election season. You want
to
linger.
It's time
on.
To go home. I
yes,
think. Yeah, from that party. Yeah.
Bring them home, boys.
Yeah.
All right, it's two teams that are 1-1. We're going to be seeing a lot of that here this week. That was one of the things you wanted to talk about. So maybe
just real quick, I believe it's been 15 years since there's been this many 1-1 teams.
Mm-hmm.
There's 20 of them.
Right.
Out of 32, obviously, for those keeping score at home. And that didn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
I was banking on around that, quite frankly. I mean, I love, you know, taking that undervalued 0-1 team against the overvalued 1-0. So. You don't have that anymore now. So
Right. Weeks
3 and 4 can be tricky because in week 2, I told you, just one quick note here before we get going on these games, that stick to your guns, okay?
Yeah.
What you thought at the beginning, don't veer away after 1 week. After weeks 3 and 4, it's kind of time to evaluate, okay? Because I know there's a couple teams that, you know, I'm scratching my head on, wow, did I misread this team? And I'm going to be looking at closely because all of a sudden when I'm like, oh, there's value with this team, I'm like, no, they actually just stink.
Well, and the thing that I'm doing, too, side note, for our weekly power rankings at the fdhlounge.blogspot.com, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, where you can also find this fine program, what I'm doing this year, instead of just putting last week's ranking in parentheses, I decided to do a thing where just to put in every number through the course of the season. So you can chart the ups and the downs, at least as I've seen them, as far as how we have teams rated. That could be very interesting to look at by later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Rams at Bears here, battle of the 1-1 teams, as we said. Line move on this one earlier in the week. Bears were weighing about 9. It came down to about 7. So the public really kind of seems to like the Rams in this one, it appears.
Yeah, and I like this is one where it was kind of a coin flip for me. Look, the Giants last week coming off the long layoff, the weekday loss, they played on a Wednesday, whereas the Bears played on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bears have had a long layoff after a disastrous game against Green Bay, a game that, you know, made a lot of people, myself included, who, if you remember, Ricky, I had the Bears winning the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
After watching that game, I'm like, I don't like that pick so much anymore. But I think they're going to rebound here. Certainly – if you're really into betting, this is one that maybe you'd want to throw in a two- or three-team teaser. I could really give you a good three-team teaser this week, probably. That's pretty obvious. I think people who are in teasers know which three teams I'm going to talk about. But this is not a – this is just a lean, not one of my top three picks by any means of the week. But I will lay the number with the Bears. I think they bounce back. The Rams are still a young team coming off an emotional home win. It was a pretty feisty game they had with the Redskins. And, yeah, I like dogs. But this is one case where just lay the number. I think the Bears are going to come out motivated.
Yeah, in this one here, and again, I guess the latest one, I guess it scores and odds, at least when I looked at it today, was 7.5,
yeah.
Actually. I guess I misspoke. In terms of that, in terms of the hook, I'm going to go on this basis this week. There are not many dogs that I can make a case for. I can make a case for the back door here, and I will. Bears will win. I'll take the points.
Yeah, like I said, teasing this one is going to be good because that hook is dangerous.
You know,
if you can get that hook.
If you get this thing inside of a field goal, that's a gimme. Yeah,
yeah.
If you could do that, if you can find two other games that are as good, I would certainly join
you.
Yeah,
or you can do like a 60. Yeah, I could give you a nice teaser, and it actually ties right into the next game. As a matter of fact,
okay.
Tampa Bay-Dallas.
Yeah.
To me, these first two games are very similar where – the straight-up winner, not in doubt. I think Dallas is going to come back. By the way, how about them Cowboys? You know, you and I were both on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And isn't it just like the Cowboys, Ricky, to come off the huge opening night win over the Super Bowl champion Giants, first time a defending Super Bowl champion lost on opening night since they've been doing these games in 2004, and they laid eight. They were even – we both picked Seattle, and the margin for error was so small that – I mean, I'm not going to speak for you. I kind of thought Seattle was going to win. But, God, did they lay a worse egg than I thought they were. I mean, the game was – you just knew it was over right away. When they blocked the punt and returned it for a touchdown, it was 10-0, like 2 seconds into the game it felt. It was just over. And like I said last week, never underestimate that home field advantage in Seattle. Spoiler alert. But I'm going to do this again against better judgment, a slight lean, and lay the number with how about them Cowboys here. Tampa Bay, this Greg Schiano's already kind of wearing thin with me after 2 weeks.
What a Bush League douche move that was here.
Tell us how you really feel. I just said he was wearing thin. You're going all the way.
How about you try to stop Eli Manning before he puts up 25 sticks on your ass in the fourth quarter?
By the way, what a
piece of crap.
What an exciting game that was. Did you get a chance to watch that?
Yeah.
There were three games going on.
Rallied to get me the push.
Yeah, I know. And I had them, if you remember, the Giants were my survivor pool pick.
Ooh.
And there were a lot of people who took the tumble with New England last week. So, like, trust me, I had a few people who I told take
God
the
Giants. God
bless
everybody who did. Yeah, and that's the thing. And I took the Browns in mine. I stuck to my guns. I took the Browns, and I am good. We're down to 4 people out of 16 in the pool that I'm in for my leagues.
You took the Browns?
I took the Browns to lose. Yeah.
Oh, to lose.
To lose.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, so you took the Bengals.
Yeah.
What you're, okay.
Well, in ours, it's who loses. But, yeah, I took the Browns to lose.
That's an interesting way to do it. Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had people text me in the first half when the G-men were down 2 scores to this Tampa Bay team.
I never thought they'd come all the way back.
And they did. They came all the way back. And, you know, almost, you know, if you bet the game early, you know, it was a push. Some people who bet it late may have took a half-point loss. But I think Romo bounces back against that Bucs secondary.
Yep.
That gave up all those yards. Dallas has got a lot of weapons. Dallas and another team that's coming up soon to me, you always want to play against the previous week's result, I think. You know, Dallas, it was almost so obvious that they would come up so small against Seattle that I was kind of like...
I didn't think so, but I'm the guy that always says same old Cowboys. I can't believe I fell for it, but I'm going to join you this week. The line goes from 7 to 8. I'm still going to stay Dallas on this one.
I don't think Tampa Bay is very good. That week one win over Carolina was not that impressive. Carolina just played bad, and they didn't have Jonathan Stewart.
If I go back to our predictions, I think we both see Tampa in our predictions for this year. They're obviously not as bad as they were last year.
Yeah.
They're not as good as they were the 10-6 year. Mm-hmm. They're going to be somewhere in between, and that's a team that's probably going to get it handed to them in Dallas this week here, or Arlington, as the case may be. So we both like the Cowboys to cover the 8.
Yeah, and in 2 weeks, I will be in Jerry World Monday night against the Chicago Bears. What do you got to say about that?
Wow.
Two major market teams. You know, what do you think? I travel across this country for Bucks v. Rams? Give me a break, pal.
I knew you were going to find a way to do some pro ESPN trolling there.
Yes.
Very well played. Speaking of a game that is not going to be spilling much beer down at the BMW Hall in any market in this country, Jacksonville and Indianapolis. And they're at the VFW Hall. I guess I screwed up the joke there. But anyways.
I was going to say, what hall is that?
Yeah,
I was
like, VFW, NBA, BMW, they're all the same.
I was going to ask you off air if that's a fun time. Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, I've never heard of that before.
VFW Hall. Okay, yeah, I just the perils of doing the show while tired. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. This is one where the Colts presently laying a field goal in this one. Had been 3.5 earlier in the week. This is a game where, again, I said this last week, I kind of tend to default in a lot of situations. If you don't much like either team, and that's kind of an understatement here for me, I'll kind of default to the home team, which is very interesting because the standard thing that a home team gets is 3 points, and that's exactly what Indianapolis is getting in this game. But I certainly have a lot more confidence in Andrew Luck already and the Indianapolis offense versus what you're getting on the other side from Gabbert or whoever is going to be playing for them. I'm taking Indianapolis here away in the 3.
I'm a little surprised in you.
Okay.
I thought for sure this would make your top 3. Remember I told you that there was only one game that we would possibly agree on our top 3 this week?
I try never to put 2 games with what I consider bad teams in there because it's too much of anything can happen.
Keep that in mind because I'm going to make that point later with one of yours.
Okay.
This is in my top 3. I love the Colts.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why. For a lot of the reasons you said that, and correctly so, that the standard number, if the odds makers view 2 teams as even, is the home team will be favored by 3. I don't think these teams are even.
I don't either.
You and I talked about on our preview show that we thought Indianapolis could get the 6 wins. And that's largely based, if you look at the schedule, they have a very easy home schedule. Most of the bad teams they draw in that dome. And you're right, quarterback play, Andrew Luck. I mean, last week, Luck's the huge edge. But last week, Jacksonville, that's who I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Gabbert and Henny were combined 9 of 21 for 76 yards.
Yep.
They gained something like 120 yards total last week against Houston. They had the ball, Ricky, for 16 minutes. Do you know how hard that is to do in today's NFL?
Yeah.
16 minutes. Their offense, and Gabbert had looked better in the preseason, by all accounts. In this league, in this day and age, you can't win with this offense. I loved the Colts last week. Remember, they were one of the teams I won with.
Yeah.
As a slight home dog against Minnesota, they came through. It kind of worries me that they only beat Minnesota by 3.
Mm-hmm.
But they were in control of that game for a while. They let Minnesota back in late. Jacksonville's not as good as Minnesota. I know they have Maurice Jones-Drew, and it's kind of a comparable situation, but I just think they're slightly worse. I was worried that the Colts would be favored by more than a field goal in this game. At a field goal, I love them.
Yeah.
I think the Colts get it going. Andrew Luck, you know, certainly, I mean, he's got the monkey off his back with the first win. This Jacksonville team is bad. I could make a case they're the worst team. I know I said it was Cleveland after 1 week, they will certainly.
I think Oakland's raising their hands after last week also.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're talking about a lot of the 0-2, the few 0-2 teams right now. But those are certainly Jacksonville will be drafting, and this is a conservative estimate, in the top 5 in April.
Oh, clearly.
And so, Justin Blackmon, by the way. Your rookie season has started, son.
This is a tragedy that he is caught in a situation like that. I feel so bad for that kid because again, I think we like Luck.
So yeah, I mean we like Luck, and hey, Indianapolis. Who knows if they play their cards right? In second place in this week division,
2-1 after this week.
But
you'll hear idiots talking about playoffs.
Playoffs. I'm sure they'll show that too.
They will probably. Yeah,
I'm sure my good friend Chris Berman. I'll have to shoot him a tweet to have to do that.
Yeah,
I'm sure he'll be rumbling, stumbling, and bumbling to the video room to get that one.
Oh yeah, that guy really defines bumbling.
Yeah,
but
he'll go back to get it. So I like the Colts a lot here. Check mark to the Colts. One of my 3 this week.
I like the Colts a little.
I do agree with you. It's dangerous to go all in on a game between 2 bad teams.
Yeah.
I'm doing it here. That's how much I don't like this card.
Okay. Yeah.
But remind me that when I reprimand you later.
You, See, but I don't think I'm taking one bad team over another. A little bit. Well, yeah, I guess I kind of am in one of the, I take that back. I kind of am. But that's because they're playing, in my opinion, hands down the 32nd best team in the league. So that would I'm making an exception to that rule as well. Jets at Dolphins is the next one up on the card here. In this line, the Jets on the road have gone from a 3-point favorite to like 2.5. So you got a little bit of a line movement, you know, there.
And that's key, dropping below that 3.
It is, and that just makes it I would have gone this way anyways, but it just makes it all the more tasty that the Jets can win it with a field goal. And, again, everybody knows from listening, my 1A team that I root for, the Miami Dolphins, but I'm not a homer when I make picks. I'm going with the Jets in this one. This is a game that they need. This just to me is a situation where it's a chance for them to really be able to get right after last week. You've got a Miami team that's hard to run on, and the Jets have already had some trouble running the football, but they can
they don't do well throwing it either.
They can be passed on all day long. Miami giving up, 313 plus yards per game through the air. It's a good chance for Sanchez and company to get her done. If anything, this line strikes me as a little bit almost suspiciously low, but I'm going Jets.
Earlier I mentioned when talking about the Cowboys that they were one of two teams in the league, two very public teams, to clarify, that you want to probably bet against the previous week's result.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Jets would be the second team.
Okay.
Last week, remember, it's funny, week one, I believe you and I both, I know I did, I'm pretty sure you agreed, as I'm 99% sure, we both took the Jets against Buffalo. Basically,
yeah,
because everyone was like, oh, the Jets stink.
Yep.
They're the worst team. They're terrible. They can't beat anyone. I can't believe they're laying points after that preseason.
Yep.
We both took them. They look great. Well, everyone then, after one big game, everyone's like, oh, the Jets are so good. They're going to the playoffs. They're so great. We both went against them last week in Pittsburgh. That was one of my plays. I also had Miami last week as a small home member. I told you about Oakland. By the way, they just keep losing in 1 o'clock start times. By the way, if you want to chart these guys, circle these games down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first of 5 times Oakland will play in the Eastern time zone this year.
Yep.
They're going to have a bad year.
Somebody might want to tell the league that Al Davis is deceased and you don't have to keep conspiring against him.
But back to this game here, because that's your very first question. I don't like road favorites. You know that.
Yeah.
Home dogs dominated last week at 5-1 against the number. But I'm going Jets here, too, especially at 2.5. I'm going to tell you why. Tony Sperano, don't think that he doesn't have it in for – he's now the Jets offensive coordinator, for those who may not know. He's going to have it in for his old team that kind of treated him like, you know, a pile of horse manure last year. I thought it was kind of unfair the way they hung him out to dry. And the Jets traditionally dominate Miami in the post-Dan Marino era, which I know has, you know, been going on for a while. But the Jets have really had Miami's number in recent seasons. Look, I mean, I know Miami did knock him out of the playoffs last year with a two-point victory. I had the Jets that day. They were getting 3, by the way. Thank you very much. line values here. I just think they match up well against the Dolphins. I take the Jets. Not one of my top 3, but I do like the Jets.
Yeah,
a road favorite could never be in my top 3, but it is here.
I clearly don't have that.
It's not in my top. Yeah, it's
okay. I don't have that rule.
Okay, yeah. I lean to the Jets, just to clarify.
Okay.
I lean to the Jets.
Right. This is not one of your official plays here.
Okay. 14-5, by the way, against the number of their last 19 trips to South Beach.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, and we look for that to go to 15 here this weekend. Next up here, a battle of two 0-2 teams. 0-2 Chiefs at the Saints.
Only matchup of 0-2 teams this week.
That's
so
true.
So we are guaranteed 1-0-3 team.
And CBS, in their infinite wisdom, is sending Gumbel and Deardorff for a battle of two 0-2 teams.
Yeah, they can keep Dan Deardorff. I'll tell you that much. God, is he annoying. He's horrible. I don't care what you say about your least favorite ESPN announcer, Dan Deardorff's worse. Dan Deardorff is awful.
Worse than – well, are we talking all announcers here of all different stripes? Because nobody's worse than your boy Skip Bayless.
Well, he's not an announcer.
Screamin'
he's
A
a commentator.
Okay.
Oh, don't you disparage my boy, Screamin' A.
Screamin' A.
I don't think you've watched Screamin' A. Screamin' A's kind of changed his tune recently. He's the voice of reason. They're commentators, by the way, not announcers.
I think Barack Obama could be the voice of reason sitting across from Skip Bayless.
They're different, like as far as like a guy in the booth, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, other than Doris Burke, your girl. Okay.
Doris Burke.
Okay. There's nobody worse than Deardorff. But talk about that three-team teaser I talked about earlier. Here's the I would put the – if you did Saints, Bears, and Cowboys. Tease them all down.
Ooh.
That I think you could have some success there. The Chiefs are a team that, as you know, I picked to win the AFC West. I suppose I am now throwing away that pick because
okay.
I believe they will certainly be 0-3.
I've already thrown Seattle under that bus, so that's it's not too early.
I believe they will be 0-3. And as much as I don't like the Saints, and by the way, our number one futures pick of Saints under 10 is looking real good right
yep.
now, I'm going to lay the big number. They are just – I certainly can't see them losing. That's the thing. The Saints are my eliminator pick this week.
Okay.
For the record, Bears week one, Giants week two. It's going to be Saints week three. I just think that so many people are starting to doubt them, you know, because last week I took Carolina because everyone's like, oh, the Saints can't be 0-2. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? They're 0-2.
Right.
Now I'm going to say they're definitely not going 0-3. They're not losing twice in 3 weeks at home. Remember, they were 9-0
right.
straight up and against the number in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Right.
I like to mention the sponsor in this case. And the Chiefs, they just look bad. Here's the problem. The Chiefs, if they fall behind, they cannot catch back up. I mean, there's certain teams,
true.
You know, like an Eli Manning and the Giants, they can fall behind, and you're like, okay, they're playing kind of crappy, but, you know, look out. Peyton Manning and the Broncos last
true.
Week, had they gotten the ball back, they could have beaten Atlanta. Kansas City just can't come back on you, and if New Orleans gets a couple scores here, they're going to be fired up, it's over. And I know it's a big number, but lay it with the Saints.
It's been
because no one's going to want to lay 9 with the Saints. That's why I want to.
It's been 9 points all week. See, I'm looking at this, and I go back to my thing from before. Same thought that I had in the Chicago-St. Louis game. I have no doubt whatsoever New Orleans is going to win this game. But I am so hard-pressed to find dogs this week that I like that I got
well,
to. Here's the thing.
Game we disagree on.
I'm going to say here, you know, coincidentally in this game happening in New Orleans, Reggie Bush, when he played in New Orleans, was dating Kim Kardashian. So this is a thing here where, having said that, it's very fitting. We like the backdoor action in this one, baby.
There it is. A little Jim Morrison special
yeah.
here, the backdoor man. Okay.
little backdoor man here, yeah. I'm taking the 9. I'm taking Kansas City in this one. So we do have another split on this game here. On the big numbers, interestingly enough, that's where we've split both times. Although you're taking home favorites.
Yeah, they're tough because the thing is, I just don't buy St. Louis and Kansas City as like I give them such a small chance of winning the game that why?
That's true, and it's risky if you're putting everything on the backdoor play if you don't think they can win outright, and that's kind of what I'm doing in both of them. But hey, we both said we hate this week's card, and there it is. Next up here. Another one of these road favorites here this week, 1-1 Detroit at 0-2 and reeling Tennessee. Detroit is laying 3.5 in this one, up from 3 earlier in the week. It kind of makes me queasy because apparently I'm chasing the same way as Joe Bag of Donuts here in this one, but I'm going to buy it. It's a thing of where, again, I predicted a fall off slightly last year for Detroit, and they're kind of living up to that to this point. But I think they're in a much better place than Tennessee. I think right now there's just way too much chaos with what's going on with Jake Locker there. Chris Johnson, the biggest bust in the league through 2 weeks. I had a question put to me off air by somebody. I wouldn't say you bench Chris Johnson because you're going to want to kill yourself if this is the week that he breaks out. But it's Detroit's got a defense that you can run on a little bit here. But a team that's only given up 187 yards through the air per game, I don't see Jake Locker getting it done this week, and Tennessee isn't going to start getting it done until he does. If they put in Matt Hasselbeck, then as a
I know you like his sister-in-law.
Then as a great longtime Clevelander once said, all bets are off if they put Matt Hasselbeck in there.
Okay.
But I'm going to take the Lions.
You just made a compelling case.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm going to offer no statistical or empirical data.
I had a
data.
Feeling you were going to go the other way, and I don't know why. Elucidate me.
This is one of my top three. Give me the three in the hook with the Titans.
Oh, my.
Now, you had the Titans in the playoffs, not to bring up bad memories.
Kind of throwing them under the bus as well.
Yeah, but if they lose this game, they're in a lot of trouble. I think they have – what's their schedule,
Tennessee? They have Houston coming up after this, but then Minnesota, which
– Okay, that could be a win.
Even at Minnesota, they'll win.
I told you about that schedule if you go back to the podcast.
Pittsburgh
was tough.
Pittsburgh on a Thursday, but then at Buffalo, Indianapolis,
they
got a chance
to
rally.
I said there was a chance they could start 1-5. I'll tell you what, I don't like Detroit. Matt Stafford, stop me if I use this joke last week, by the way, in the program, because I can never remember.
Okay.
He reminds me of that lonely soul at the bar at about 2 in the morning when there's one hot chick left and he's just gawking at her.
Okay, I
speak from experience, okay? That's the way he is with Calvin Johnson. He just stares at him the whole time. It's like he's going to throw a lot of interceptions. He almost caught him up against St. Louis.
Yeah.
They were clearly not better than San Francisco. Look, Detroit was a big – I agreed with you. You and I thought this was a clear candidate for regression along with New Orleans in the NFC.
Yeah.
Tennessee, I don't think, is as bad as they've played the first 2 weeks. I can't offer anything. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I think the Titans have to win. They're a home dog. You know how I like home dogs. No one's going to want to touch them, and I think the 3 and the hook comes in big. Give me the Titans.
Okay.
Give me the Titans.
Well, you know, and Locker, the one thing he's got going for him, he does have a completion percentage of 61.3, which, by the way, takes me to the other side of the equation. You and I, Kyle Ross, are no stranger, both of us at different points in time, to being in bars in Athens, Ohio at 2 a.m.
Yes.
All I can tell you is I have rarely, if ever, in any of those bars seen the female equivalent at 2 a.m.
of Calvin Johnson.
Somebody with a passer rating of 63.8 as Matt Stafford has.
Okay, gotcha.
So you got to give me that much.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so we differ on this one, and as a matter of fact, Tennessee is one of your strong plays. The next one here, you talk about strong. I'll go to the other side. This one's not for the faint of heart if you're looking to bet on this one here. Cincinnati at Washington. Both teams 1-1 at this point in the season. Washington laying 3, down from 3.5. So a little bit of a movement towards
This line
Cincinnati.
Opened at 4.5.
4.5?
Originally,
okay.
Yeah. It opened. There were 4.5s out there.
Okay.
And I'll be honest with you, the more the line moves, the less I like my pick, which is Cincinnati.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Small road dogs are traditionally not the best bets, but I think RG3, we saw it last week clearly against St. Louis, RG3's led the Redskins to be an overvalued team in the marketplace, in my opinion.
I want to counter that, though. Look at what Cincinnati allowed Brandon Weeden last week.
That's scary, okay?
Yes.
Make no mistake about it. I like Cincinnati. I like them a lot better if they have the hook mm-hmm. with them, okay, if they get 3 in the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But before the year, this is what I'm saying about sticking to your guns still a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see about Washington because it's, you know, right now I'm not convinced that Griffin's going to be the MVP. I mean, he's obviously going to be a long-time starter in this league, but, you know, he doesn't need to start preparing that MVP speech anytime soon, okay? Before the season started, I just thought Cincinnati would be better than Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So this line to me, if it goes under a field goal, which I don't think it will, I would be a little more leery of Cincinnati, but slight lean to the Bengals.
You know, it's one of these things here where, based on how I had them both slotted coming into the year, that logical part of my brain wants to be on Cincinnati. But
what I'm going with.
I'm just looking at that defense. The defense has been very unimpressive.
Oh, they haven't, yeah. I mean, they haven't.
And it's as hot as RG3 has been. And as good as the ground game has been with Cousin Alfred getting her done on the ground there, I do think that there's I just think Washington's going to put up more points than Cincinnati is able to account for in this one. The next one up, you said to me that, earlier in the week, you texted me, said this is one of the dirtiest lines you'd ever seen.
Oh, good. We could talk about this game.
It stayed at 3.5 pretty much throughout the week, I believe. Philadelphia laying that at Arizona. And I tell you again,
this to me is the toughest game of the week to call, and I'm going to detail it in a second.
These two teams, as 2-0 teams, you know, I risk coming off as a very ahistorical person, prone to hyperbole, but much as I've been saying Obama v. Romney is the worst choice in American political history, these are the worst two 2-0 teams in NFL history. Book it. I don't like either of them. I really, really, really don't. Philadelphia should be ashamed of themselves, quite frankly, at 2-0. And Arizona, again, the thing about them is they're not doing it in a way of like, oh, they proved me wrong. Kevin Cobb does have a pulse. Oh. They had opportunistic play.
Nice play defense.
From Campbell off the edge there against New England. But they're not doing it in a way that's proving anybody wrong. They're not
I thought you were going to throw Ken Whisenhunt in my face this week. I was very nervous.
Well, Coach Wiz, I will. Coach Wiz is really coaching him up there in that division.
Yeah, that's what you do in the NFC West is you coach him up.
I mean, you know, I put a lot of it on him. But, again, Arizona is not far from what Dennis Green thought they were. And in the end, I'll default to the better team. The hook makes me nervous, but Philadelphia, I'll lay the 3.5 on the road.
If you don't think that Philadelphia is going to win this game by 3 points, you simply haven't been doing that, paying attention long enough. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
You're voting for Virgil Good Jr. in about
it's
6 weeks.
It's all good. 2012.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something. I think his turnout will be roughly the same as Virgil in Parmatown Mall. Virgil,
oh,
the bodyguard. Okay. A fine photo documented by your boy Joe Linway. Okay. That said, Arizona, by the way, double-digit dogs, outright winner last week for the Cardinals.
Yeah, we said the back door was going to be left open. Boy, was that an understatement on our part.
Yeah. The Eagles, I'm going to take a different tact with you.
Okay.
Before I do, this is going to be the first of several games where I annoy you, I believe.
Okay.
I understand why people think the Eagles are one of the weaker 2-0 teams in recent memory. As a matter of fact, according to I think it's I've read it either from Elias or ESPN Stats and Info on Twitter, that they are the first team in history to open 2-0 with a pair of 1-point victories.
Okay.
They were very fortunate last week to beat a good Baltimore team at home.
Okay.
They have turned the ball over 9 times in 2 weeks. But they're still 2-0. Like, don't you kind of get the feeling something's maybe a little different with this Eagles team than last year? Last year, the Eagles lost those games. They have won. If you're 2-0, turning the ball over 9 times, is Lady Luck by God riding on your shoulders? That said, the Eagles are winning this game by 3 points. I am going to I brought up Virgil Good Jr. for this reason. I am exercising my constitutional right and not making a pick on this game.
Oh, okay.
I abstain. I refuse to bet this game.
Okay.
The Eagles are going to win by my pick for this is the Eagles. I know that people are saying, well, you're saying take Arizona. No, don't take Arizona. I'm just saying the Eagles are going to win by 3 points.
The one thing that makes me
the
nervous.
The Eagles will win by 3 points.
But both Jackson and Macklin are kind of banged up. That makes me a little bit
the
nervous.
The Eagles
here
are winning by 3 points. That's my pick. I know that counts as picking Arizona, kind of, but I don't say that.
All right, all right. Yeah, I could see that being the case. This is a screwy game. By the way, And the announcers on this game, Brenneman Billick and Laura Oakman, which the thing that is very disconcerting to any viewers of this broadcast combo, if you have Laura Oakman working the sidelines, why do you ever get to any situations where she's just doing a voiceover and she's not on camera? Not a very good decision from the Fox truck, may I say.
Well, Tom Brenneman, by the way, no, you, man.
Yes, exactly.
If you spend 5 or 10 minutes with him. There we go.
You know, that was the most embarrassing stretch for people associated with Ohio University when he did that.
I think he had to be forced by that line. He didn't sound comfortable.
That was the most disconcerting thing for any of us alums since word began circulating that Jay Mariotti is an Ohio Bobcat. I don't know that anything's worse than that.
I remember you said that on Around the Horn, a program that's often on when you come over for these shows.
Exactly.
I was like, what? You went there? No.
Yeah.
I was kind of upset. You know, usually I'm like,
I think we were all upset when we found that out. This next one, again, is a screwy one also. 2-0 Atlanta at 2-0. San Diego here. Falcons.
Your San Diego Chargers, by the way.
Yeah. I interestingly enough, of my big three last week, both of these teams were included in that. The Falcons, for the first time in my memory, back-to-back lock picks for me. I picked them as the lock both weeks, and I'm looking at this one here. I'm gonna do the old John Kerry flip-flop on this one. My initial thought, short week. A little bit of a thing for Atlanta. Yeah, the passing offense has been awesome, but the run offense has been in the crapper, and those of us that are Michael Turner fantasy owners know that all too well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons to go on San Diego.
He's got bigger problems than those yards per carry, though, this week.
He does, and unlike my fantasy team, Mike Smith doesn't have Michael Bush to hedge with, so it's going to suck for them.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this, and I keep saying, in a week when I can make a case for very few dogs, damn it, I'm going 3 weeks in a row. It's not a lock pick. It's not a big three pick. I'm going against. I'm flip-flopping John Kerry style, and I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons, taking the three on the road.
Now
it's
why
been
you,
three all week.
Why you? What's the difference between flip-flopping John Kerry style as opposed to flip-flopping Mitt Romney style?
They are pretty much the
same
guy.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Both losers. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Coming to a future podcast near you.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, folks, if you didn't want the ending of that movie ruined. I'm going with Atlanta, too. I'm going to tell you why. Line value.
Okay.
I think the NFC, as you know, is significantly better than the AFC.
Much better.
And the short week is troubling in that certainly
travel.
The short week, the travel east to west. The fact that Ryan Matthews could be back in this game for the Chargers, while who knows what's going to go on with, as you mentioned, the Falcons already anemic running game. Michael Turner sitting this one out.
Going against the defense allowing 42 yards a game on the ground.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, but San Diego isn't a very impressive 2-0 to me.
Right.
And the Falcons are this number says the odds makers view these teams as even. They're not. The Falcons are better.
They are.
I always thought the Falcons might come out as a road favorite in this one. To be honest with you.
If San Diego wasn't 2-0, they would be.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
But here, I want to go back to something I said at the beginning about the Falcons.
Okay.
How they are the pavement of the NFL. This came to me. Now, those of you who do not know, and many of you may that are listening, pavement was what we call a critics band in the 1990s. They were a band that the critics loved, and really no one outside of the critics either A, knew about, or B, cared about. I play pavement for all my friends now these days on the jukebox. They're like, I really like this group. Who is it? I'm like, pavement. They broke up 10 years ago.
I can say bitterly they're the anti-Rush. All the snobby critics hate Rush.
You know me. I'll go my own way. I like both.
Oh,
okay. What do you got to say about that?
But
anyway.
Very interesting.
Okay. But
you're a very iconoclastic fellow.
Yeah,
Ross.
Well, you know that.
Yes.
But Atlanta is the pavement of the NFL. I'm going to tell you why. They do everything right. Good quarterback, good receivers, good GM. Mm-hmm. Just if you look at them on paper, they're a great team. And I'm referring to them as a whole, going obviously back the entire Matt Ryan. This refers to the entire Matt Ryan, Mike Smith era. Certainly, you know, after that tremendous performance in week one, you know, we were both doing cartwheels. I thought they were going to blow the game last week, Monday night,
came
watching
close.
That. We both laid the number with them.
Mm-hmm.
I personally did it. And I was cursing. I was like, first of all, those replacement refs, and we'll talk about them at the end. Remind me to bring up these idiot replacement refs at the end of this program. The game kept going, and I'm like, will somebody please end this game? Just please get it. Because if Denver got the ball back, Denver was going to win. I was convinced of it. And that the reason I call Atlanta a critics band is on paper they look so great, yet shouldn't they have accomplished so much more? Like, I get the feeling that they could get a – look, I know the season just started. Yeah, but here's the thing. You only have a short window in this league. Is Atlanta going to win the division? Yes. By the way, after 2 weeks, I may already be calling all four division races in the NFC.
They may win this going away.
They're going to win the division. They could have one of the first. They could have a first round bye. They might win a playoff game, but they're just not going to win the Super Bowl. There's something missing. Some intangible quality. Maybe they need to spend 5 or 10 minutes with Tim Tebow. I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Intangible quality. Sounds like somebody needs to go read Fire Joe Morgan a little bit here if you're going to talk about mystical things.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't you, like, look at it? Like, it would have been so Atlanta had they lost that game. And not just Atlanta Falcons. I'm talking about Atlanta sports in general. I mean, that's always
true.
But were you worried? I mean, granted, I'm terrible when I lay points and it's the end of a game fearing a backdoor cover. I scream. I'm like, oh, God, please just get 10 yards every run and fall down and don't fumble.
I will tell you, I was telling all my friends after I hit 11 winners earlier in the weekend that if I was them, I'd load up on Denver because I said this would be very me.
Yeah.
Hit 11
and then
not
lose
the
big
one,
one
that I staked on. So
I just think that they're very good. And look, if I were to do a power rankings right now, I thought about this, I'd have them at number 2 in the entire league, behind only San Francisco. And
that's where I got them slotted.
They look great. I just get the feeling that they will never win a Super Bowl. There's just something missing.
Really?
Yeah.
Run of this team, they will not win a Super Bowl?
I don't think they're missing something.
Okay.
I think they need to spend 5 or 10 minutes with Tim Tebow.
I think you're a little pessimistic about the Falcons, but we both like them this week. Getting the 3
NFC
points.
NFC is just better than the AFC. And the Falcons are just better than the Chargers. Who have the Chargers played?
I'm not. They beat one in Tennessee.
Yeah, those teams, but two winless teams. Yeah. They're not those teams aren't good.
Well, in part, they're winless because San Diego beat them. That does have something to do. Well, that accounts for two of their four combined losses, Kyle Ross.
Yeah, they also both stink.
Well,
okay,
they have this in common.
Oh, I did take Tennessee as one of my big picks this week, didn't I? They don't stink that bad. Betters, okay.
By the way, we can't move to the next game without one final note on Rush here. I too, Kyle, am a very iconoclastic fellow. Greatest album ever, 1987's Hold Your Fire. I will not take a backseat to you for being an iconoclast.
Wasn't even in the top 10 albums of 1987. I couldn't name 10 albums in 87 off the top of my head better.
That's my favorite album, even ahead of 2112. What can I tell you? I, too, am an iconoclast, Kyle Ross. I take a backseat to nobody.
Yeah. Leave some of those drugs at the door, by the way.
The next one here, you talk about
Slick Willie.
Talk about a short favorite at home here in this. A short dog, I should say, in looking at this one. Denver is getting 2 points from Houston. Had been one earlier on, so this is one where again, and I picked Houston to come out of the AFC. You picked them to win the Super Bowl. Again, is this a game that on paper where we would go with them, particularly with Denver also on the short week here? Maybe, but in this case for me, no. I'm going to go with Denver in this one here to defend the home field. I think to whatever extent we want to factor in altitude, the short week probably does no favors in that sense also. And, again, I think it'll be a fairly decent bounce-back week for Peyton Manning. I don't think it's going to be huge scoring on either side.
Really?
Thanks to the deep. Well, I'm looking at Denver's given up 209 yards a game passing. Houston's given up all of 124 game.
Yeah,
so it's going to be tough.
Houston has not played the offenses of our time. They've not exactly faced Warren Moon and Jim Kelly in the first two weeks.
If there's a whole boatload of points here, then it'll be like 25-22 on all the kickers working overtime, he thinks.
I'm going two road favorites this week.
Okay.
Bless America.
See, I'm so struggling to find dogs.
Denver,
I got to go where
is good as Peyton Manning looked in week one. Mm-hmm. God, did he look awful in that first quarter. And Houston's defense, man, that is – people talk – when people think Houston, I think they still think like Andre Johnson matchup. But what makes Houston so much better than Detroit, so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are not comparable teams. Houston is significantly better than Detroit. Is their defense. Wade Phillips, my hat's off to you. We talked about this last year, I remember, on the podcast, how he would transform that defense. I mean, Jacksonville, 16, again, I mentioned this when we talked about Jacksonville last week. Houston allowed Jacksonville to possess the ball 16 minutes and gave him like 120 total yards.
Right.
Now, I know that's Jacksonville,
okay,
and Peyton Manning is a whole different thing. I think it's a short number, and I know people are going to say, well, who's Houston beat? And part of me is like...
That's true. They'd be two of the dogs of the league.
But I did tell you...
they dominated like they should, though.
Yes, I told you last week I didn't want to lay a big number on the road with Houston until they showed me they could do it. Well, they showed me. And this is a smaller number. And I know Denver's better than... Jacksonville, but it is a smaller number. It's such a minuscule number. It's going to... I mean, I liked it a lot better when it was one, to be honest with you. But I'm going to go Houston here. I mean, they are my pick to win the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you what, and this is, I think, the first time I've done this all year. I haven't flip-flopped on the air, but you know what? I am going to flip-flop and join you with Houston.
Oh, wow.
Something I just noted. Well, I just noted here, thanks to USA Today, as I'm glancing at the notes here. I didn't realize this. Houston 0-9 against Peyton Manning on the road. They got a lot to prove against
I love where your head's at.
Yeah,
I love where your head's at.
They got a lot to prove.
Yeah. But most of those losses were when they stunk and Wade Phillips wasn't their defensive coordinator.
Right, but it's a thing where... If my only methodology for taking Denver, and this is where I really struggled, I was like, well, I'm taking too many favorites. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to take one more. I'm going to take Houston. I'm going to lay the two on the road here. As I change my mind in real
on
time.
On air. Wow.
On air. How about that? We skip past.
By the way,
yeah.
Houston, someone in my ear here just chirped. Houston, 6-0 against the number. The last six games they've been in where the line is +3 to -3. So those pick 'em games, Houston's covered six straight.
All right. Well,
14-5 against their number the last 19 games overall. That kind of scares me because they're going to eventually have to start giving some back. But I think it's going to be later in the year when they become overvalued and they're laying more than seven, especially against those division teams.
Yeah.
Watch them get backdoored a lot.
Yeah, I think so. Looking at the Sunday night game here, the home team is laying 3 points as they have pretty much throughout the week. It's a rematch of the AFC Championship game, New England at Baltimore. This is one where as much as I try not to make one of my big three picks something that involves two bad teams, although, as you pointed out, I am kind of violating that in one sense here this week, I try not to go too often with two really good teams, and that's the only thing that's keeping me from making this a lock pick. I do not see, given the state of the two franchises right now and some of the turmoil that is catching up the New England offense as we speak right now, with the exiling, as it were, of Wes Welker, the injury to Aaron Hernandez, I don't know how this is only a three-point line. This is a thing where, and that makes me nervous. Baltimore, I think, should be laying more than that. This is not to me at this point in time a pick'em on a neutral field. What has New England done that is the equivalent of the plunger raping that Baltimore inflicted on Cincinnati in week one? I think Baltimore should be favored by substantially more than three as these teams stand right now. So this kind of confuses me a little bit. I'm not going to make it one of my big three plays, but I am going to go on Baltimore strongly Sunday night.
I think this is our big disagreement play of the week.
Really?
My third and final pick recommendation is New England.
This should be fascinating.
I got burned big time in the college ranks late night last Saturday with BYU and Utah in a revenge angle. I think the only reason Baltimore's favored this game is the revenge angle from the championship game.
And that's substantial.
I think it carries no weight. I'll tell you what carries weight for me. Tom Brady, in his career, 11-1 straight up and against the number as a dog off a loss.
Thank you, Mark Lawrence.
Yes. I'm telling you right now, I love New England. And when you can get New England in points,
yeah,
that's value there. And look, I can't believe – well, you liked Baltimore more than me to start the season. I thought Baltimore was going to be an 8-8 or 9-7 team,
well,
and boy, did I look silly after that first game against Cincinnati. But they predictably lost to Philly last week. Well, I had Philly. Philly did not cover, by the way. They just missed in what I labeled a coin flip game. I just kind of went with Philly because I figured everyone would be in love with Baltimore. But let me bring it up. Belichick as an underdog overall in New England is something like 38-23
okay.
Or 38-19. It's a really good record. I have a rule that I always take New England with points. This is my third recommendation of the
all
week.
Right, and
New England, Tennessee. I don't think you liked any of my three picks, did you? New England, Tennessee, and
what was
Indianapolis. You agreed with Indy. You agreed with Indy. That's
did,
right.
Yeah, and that's we'll see.
So
how you
disagreed with two of my three.
Yeah.
That's always that's interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
Well, I always disagree with your top ones too.
I think you very well might, and we'll be getting to mine after this next one here. The final one of the week, not of the big three for me, is also the final game that we played during NFL Week 3. It's Green Bay at Seattle in the Holmgren Bowl on Monday Night Football at CenturyLink Field Goal.
Something tells
Seattle.
Me Mike Holmgren wishes he was going to be there Monday night. I'll tell you that, not Sunday.
By the way, side note, after a retweet that I did from a Twitter account on Sunday, the account is Holmgren's Fat Ass, tweeting out, if anyone would like to come down and play DB on the next series, DM me immediately. I retweeted that for the Lounge account, and now Holmgren's Fat Ass is following the FDH Lounge account on Twitter.
I see.
Which, I can just hear my dad's voice in my ear now. Well, that's something to be proud of. Green Bay's laying 3.5 here, as they have throughout the week. And you would think, Kyle Ross, you would think after last week going 12-2, but of the two games I lost, one of them thoroughly, Dallas getting whipped at the hands of Seattle at home, as I disregarded your advice blatantly about a team playing in the Pacific Northwest on the road, you would think I would learn my lesson and I would stay away from Green Bay this week, but they were my preseason pick to win the Super Bowl. I'm going for the Green Bay Packers to win, and as what I thought would be the case with Dallas last week, not necessarily close.
You know where I'm going.
You
know who I'm taking.
I know exactly where
I'm
you're
taking
going.
Seattle.
All right.
I don't. Here's the problem with Seattle, though. I almost would have made this in my top three, but there's something that's scary. There's an article that came out about a month ago on Deadspin that talked about how West Coast teams typically dominate East Coast teams on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
In when you know we always talk about how West Coast teams struggle in those early 1 o'clock Sunday starts.
Okay.
Well, apparently there's been a lot of research here. I don't have the exact number, but the bottom line is that East Coast teams, when they're at a West Coast team on Monday night, don't do well. Green Bay, I mean, it's not the East Coast. I mean, it's not Baltimore. But they're flying west. Seattle is so, look, they are so good at home. I'm going to tell you something right now. I think both San Francisco and Seattle might come out of the west to make the playoffs.
Wow.
I think Seattle could be a wild card. I really do. Green Bay, I thought last Thursday against Chicago was more about Chicago stinking than them being the old Green Bay. I can see Seattle stick keeping this one close and not winning. I know it's a small margin.
Here's the number one thing for me. Their wide receivers have been so underwhelming. I just don't see Seattle's offense staying with Green Bay.
Golden Tate, he may not have caught him nice, but by God, King, he decapitated Sean Lee.
A whopping 3 catches, 38 yards for the season.
Well,
not,
I mean,
you know, that,
I'm saying the block was
yeah.
very nice.
Okay.
But
I mean,
I'm going Seattle. Look, you know me. I blindly go home dogs, and I want people to keep that in mind when we talk about your top three picks.
All right, my top three that we're going with here as we go back. Again, in my top three
Sam
picks,
the Square, Randy the Road Favorite is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, here's the thing. I am 4-2 with the big three on the season, and I am going once again against one of the teams that beat me thus far, as the Browns week one did better than a backdoor cover, almost won outright against Philadelphia, thanks in dual part to Dick Geron, being somebody who is almost unparalleled at this league with getting a lot out of a bunch of chodes defensively, and also in equal part the stupidity of Andy Reid not running LeSean McCoy 50 times right at said defense. I'm going against the Browns again. The Bills are laying 3 on the road. This is if you listen to the chatter in town, we're, of course, both based out of Cleveland. Oh, it's a must-win game for the Browns. Meanwhile, I'm going, wait a minute, must-win game. I got them penciled for 3 wins all year. And you know what? Inside that locker room, they can't possibly be delusional enough to look in the collective mirror and see a playoff team. The fact that they have Baltimore and the Giants coming up as the 2 games after that is of no consequence to me. All that tells me is they'll be 0-5 after those games. I like the Bills laying the 3 points here.
I went against what you just said with Tennessee, basically, but I also think Tennessee is much better than Cleveland. I am channeling Virgil Good and exercising my constitutional right.
Okay.
I will not be playing this game. I wouldn't play this game with Mitt Romney's money, okay?
All right.
Here's the thing.
You'd miss a chance to buy a car elevator.
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing. Those of you who listened to the preseason predictions know that I actually went on a limb and said Buffalo would be a wild card team. You think that I would jump all over Buffalo here. I was really hoping they would lose to Kansas City last week and come in as a small dog. I cannot lay points on the road with Buffalo. And I can't bet Cleveland. Here's Buffalo, 2-13, their last 15 games overall, straight up. 0-8 straight up, 1-6-1 against the number on the road. I know Brandon Whedon stinks. I know the Browns stink. I know the dog pound's going to be barking. Oh, this is our game. This is our week. Look at.
I didn't know the dog pound sounded like JR.
Okay. I just think Buffalo is going to win a close one. But look, I'm using your Indy Jacksonville mentality here. When it's two bad teams, I don't want to be involved. And Buffalo needs to show me something. They really soured me in that Jets game. If they come and play here, I might say, hey, yeah, remember, hey, everybody, I picked the Bills to make the playoffs. Remember that?
Yeah.
But, no, I will not. I refuse to make a prediction on this game.
I'm not super down on the Bills. I still got them as like an 8 or 9 win team. But looking at this here, I have 2 numbers for you, Kyle.
Joe Hayden, by the way, his loss is huge.
And that's the thing, too. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be able to carve up that secondary. You'll look at what happened last week in the aforementioned Holmgren's fat-ass joke. But I have 2 numbers for you, and those numbers are 7 and 10.1. And here's what I'm going to go with here. Your boy C.J. Spiller, averaging 10.1 yards per carry.
Well, that's going to come down.
What will he do against the Browns' front 7, Kyle Ross?
You know what? The Browns' run defense, the numbers are bad. I always think that's a product, though, of them always losing and being down at the end and the other team's just running the ball late.
I see them.
No, I mean, I guess he's going to still get his yards that way, but.
Well, I think also, too. I mean, Spiller's 5 for 72 receiving on the season. I see a lot of attempts to get him the ball in space. I see a lot of going downfield to Stevie Johnson.
I could see, yeah.
This is one where, yeah.
Buffalo will win this game by between 1 to 3 points, a close one.
Okay, that's what you thought. All right. Well,
I refuse to make a pick.
All right. All
Buffalo
right.
will win the game, I think, but okay. I can't lay. I'm not laying points with them on the road.
All right.
I refuse to do it.
Okay, so you're not making a pick there.
I got news for you, too. I ain't done not making picks yet either.
Okay. All right, this next one. San Francisco 2-0 at Minnesota 1-1. I'm going to channel what I said last week because the line on this one is 7. It's pretty much been 7 all week. I said to you on the Houston-Jacksonville game, if this was at midseason, if the odds makers were growing any hair on the peaches and were willing to stick their necks out a little bit, the line would be closer to 2 touchdowns. I'll say the same thing here. San Francisco, number 1 in the league in my power rankings.
Mine too.
Minnesota hovering. I think I got them at like about 28. There's no way San Francisco is only 4 points better on a neutral field. That's insulting everyone's collective intelligence. Joe Biden's included.
No, you're doing wrong. They're 10 points better on a neutral field.
Points.
Yeah, they're
right,
10
right,
points
right,
better.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess Joe Biden deserves an apology from me.
Yes, he does.
He better not hold his breath waiting for it, frankly.
Yes, he does. You apologize to Joe Biden right now.
Yeah, that'll be the day. But anyways, all right. So I had that backwards there on that. Nevertheless, this line is way too low. This is almost borderline why ask why. It's almost suspicious to me that a team as solid as San Francisco thus far is only laying 7 to Minnesota. What's up with that? Nevertheless, I'm going with what appears to be right in front of my eyes and taking San Francisco to just open up a can of whoop-ass on them.
Since it is in front of your eyes, all I will say is this.
Mm-hmm.
Hold your nose and take the 7 with the Vikings.
Really?
Yeah. Ricky, you know me. I'm a stickler with the home dogs. I can't. Later in the year, I'd be more inclined to do it. And the Niners look great. Who do they have playing next, the Niners? Who are they playing up
Niners
next?
Niners are playing the Jets at the Jets.
Kind of. This is kind of one of those trap games, I think. The Niners will definitely win, but closer than
the
experts
Niners
think.
Watch SportsCenter a lot and care that Tim Tebow's on the Jets? I don't really know that's going to be a big point of concern.
Well, who knows? I like Jim Harbaugh. I really wish he would have clotheslined that no-good Jim Schwartz.
I wish Jim Schwartz would have just given him a knuckle sandwich here, a little bit of what for after that game.
Yeah, I hope Harbaugh just starts slapping all the coaches.
But well, that's what he does.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll say this, though.
Yeah.
Coaching in this game? Oh, boy. Jim Harbaugh versus Leslie Frazier?
Yes.
Leslie Frazier needs a lot more than 7 points to be even with Jim Harbaugh in the coaching department. Jim Harbaugh, how great is this guy as a coach?
He is a great coach.
But on sheer principle, I say hold your nose and take the Vikings.
Adrian Peterson, by the way, for anybody thinking that he could be a difference maker and helping Minnesota at least get the back door, yeah, he's back, he's strong, he's looking pretty good. And yet, 49ers defense, 64 yards per game on the ground. Yeah. AP's got nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. I'm taking San Francisco in this one. And that brings us to the 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 3. These locks are, of course, 2-0, by definition, through the course of the season. And we come to this one now in a matchup of two of the dirtiest teams in the league historically, certainly. When you go, especially as you go back
but
to
by
the
God,
70s.
They have two of the biggest hearts.
You go back to the 70s, and it's two of the most loathsome franchises, in my personal opinion, in the NFL.
I always liked the Raiders are the team of my youth.
They're the team of the youth of a lot of people on death row, as a matter of fact,
That's rude.
The official team of death
row.
The
team of MC Ren's youth, okay?
Pittsburgh's laying 4. They had been laying 5, so the action is going Oakland's way. And this, this to me, and I try not to make a lock pick one of these ones here, because it's too anything that's like borderline why ask why yet again. I'm just looking at this. How is Pittsburgh only laying 4 to Oakland? I know they're going the time zones and everything like that.
They lost out. They lost outright to the Raiders a couple of years ago. Remember Ben? I think it was the year that Roethlisberger had his new face. It was early in the year.
They
lost.
Anybody think Darren McFadden's 2-point yards per game is going to expand against Pittsburgh?
No Polamalu, no Harrison. Now, I know that they certainly didn't need them against the J-E-T-S Jets.
Yeah, and
last
some of the guys
week.
Offensively are banged up also, too, although part of that is just Pittsburgh being wussies with the injury report.
Well,
but still.
There you go. You had to dig that in.
I had to because I hate Pittsburgh.
Why don't you go ahead and say something nice about the Steelers?
The only nice thing I'll say is that they'll cover this game. It's my lock of the week. They'll take Pittsburgh in the 4. Or laying the 4, rather. Laying the 4.
No pick from me again.
Wow.
3 times.
Okay.
I refuse.
All right.
I can. Here's the thing.
The cock has crowed thrice here, Pontius Pilate.
Well, needless to say,
I know I'm getting some things mixed up here.
Needless to say, that money management article you might find online from is not just filler on those websites. Okay,
I barely know her.
Okay, yeah. But by the way, I didn't channel my inner Paul Belfie when we talked about Bills. The Browns. But I meant to do that. I almost forgot to do it 2 weeks in a row.
Real thrill for our old SDN listeners.
The Browns. The Raiders. I can't make a case for the Raiders, but on sheer principle, I can't lay the Steelers scare me. They are 0-7 against the number of their last 7 road games on grass, okay? By the way, and I'm not talking about that they were smoking before the game, okay? I'm talking they could have been, but and they probably will have to lose this game to the Raiders. Raiders stink, by the way.
That statistic is the bastard love child of Pete Axthelm and Mark Lawrence, just so you know.
I like Pete Axthelm. Don't you speak ill of him. By the way, take that comment for what you will.
Yes.
That was my JerMichael Finley. That was my impression of JerMichael Finley's agent's tweet. Okay.
I see who you're putting over selectively here. Okay. So, all right. So the Steelers are my lock pick. So again, to sum up on this here, your picks through the week. The only three that you're really vouching for here on this week 3 card. You've got
New England,
Tennessee,
Indianapolis.
Okay. Yeah. All AFC AFC South.
Yeah. By the way, we're going back like it's 2004 all over again. It sounds like, you know,
in a year where the election's likely to be the reverse.
Yeah.
Image
I was going to say in the,
when strangely
we're,
enough,
2004, 2000, yeah, 2000, yes. Yeah, 2012 will be more like 2008 when it comes to that.
And then, my picks for the week here, I am going with San Francisco laying the points, Buffalo laying the points, and Pittsburgh for the lock pick. So, Kyle Ross, this is going to be a weird
card. A lot of disagreement. I can't wait to do it again in week 4.
We both hate this card, and God willing, when we're sitting here next week, we won't be sitting with too much blood and too many bruises on our faces coming off of this one.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.